You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pitt Mailbag Show from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here answering all your questions that you sent into the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about your Pitt Panthers. We're going to get into several questions, a lot of them basketball, with the NCAA tournament well underway. And, of course, the transfer portal season has begun. We'll get to all those questions. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area. 80 of those local beers are available on tap, and they're always switching new ones in and out. We'll have more on Mike's in a bit here, but as you can see, I'm Chris Carter, one of your Pitt beat writers here at the Post-Gazette. I'm riding solo today as Noah Hiles is now moving on to the Pittsburgh Pirates beat. He'll be handling that. You can catch all his work there for the Post-Gazette. I believe he'll be doing some opening day opportunities or availabilities later this week, but we'll get to that. We'll have Abby Schnabel on with me as we do more of these shows in the future, but she's just getting back from Omaha, Nebraska, from covering the Duquesne Dukes, so we wanted to give her a day off. So you stuck with me. But let's get to some of your questions here on the Pitt Mailbag Show that you can always send to me at ccarter@post-gazette.com or just hitting me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. But here we go with questions here. We had a few questions today. A lot of them were transfer portal centric, including this question that comes from Roland. And we know about two Panthers who are in the transfer portal right now, and that's Federico and Will Jeffress, both in the front court. And Roland asks, what does their being in the transfer portal tell you about Pitt's plans for the transfer portal itself? That's a good question, Roland, because both of these guys were guys that they were hopeful to see grow over the past couple years. Federico came last year and had a decent season for a first-year transfer portal guy. You know, the biggest thing was he had to improve offensively at the rim. If he could do that, things would be better, but that never happened, and you kind of saw that problem occur a lot this past season. Good defensive player, helps with his length, his athleticism. He's able to help with those aspects, but not being able to finish at the rim, not being able to solidly catch passes and keep the flow of the offense going, that kind of held up Pitt a lot when it came to paint scoring, and it put a lot more pressure on guys like Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe and Ishmael Leggett to be the ones who finish in the paint. And also won more rebounds. This Pitt was one of the better rebounding teams in the ACC, but Federico was not anywhere to be found on the top of their rebounds in most games. It was often, you know, a mixed effort of Ishmael Leggett and Blake Hinson and Bub Carrington and then Federico. So that's the part there. Will Jeffress always been, you know, Will Jeffress was a guy who came in as a four-star guy when he was like 19 years old or 18 years old. He was very young when he started with Pitt, and he came in super young, might have even been 17. But when he came in, there was a lot of promise. He was a four-star athlete. There was a lot of talk about him, and he certainly has the athleticism. He can go up and dunk. He can defend. He can run. But he just never developed a consistent scoring presence, and that was always the biggest liability. He could come in and give you tough minutes and help in a lot of other facets, defense, rebounding, and other things, but scoring, just one of it. And so what does it tell about both of these guys being in the transfer portal? Well, Roland, that tells me that Pitt is going to be looking for some people to help more in the scoring department. Now, they'll also be looking for guys who could play good defense and get good rebounding. That is still going to be a big part of what Pitt basketball wants to do to be a good program. But they need guys who could do that and be scorers. And they've been trying to develop those guys, and they have developed some of those guys. You know, I think that, what you saw out of the two freshman guards, they certainly developed in a strong way. Ishmael Leggett, early on in the season, you saw early success against the mid-majors. But then when he started playing the Power 5 teams, he struggled. And then by, I'd say, like January, those struggles were gone, and he had figured out, hey, this is how I need to play at this level. to be able to score stronger. And I think that's what Pitt needs to do to find its bigs right now for this program. Because if they find their bigs who can score in the paint, who can defend well, rebound well, that changes a lot of dynamics for this team. And that's not something that they're necessarily working around as much as something that they're counting on to be an asset to them in future games. So let's get to other questions here, include the transfer portal. We got Jake, who said Pitt's been less busy this year in the early part of the transfer portal. Are there guys Pitt's reached out to, and who might be a real chance of joining the team? Good question, Jake. So we've been tracking this, for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Other people have been tracking this as well. There's lots of, rumors about who's been contacted and things like that. If you missed last Friday's recruitment report, my former partner, Noah Hiles, did a good job on giving you a breakdown of some of the people that they've looked at. Mikael Brown-Jones is a 6'8". Forward from UNC Greensboro. He'll be a graduate transfer, but he had 18.9 points and 7.5 rebounds per game this past season. And he also is an outside shooter. He shoots 43.1% from deep, granted not at a high volume, but still has brought in that ability there. And that's something that Pitt could absolutely want to add. Another player, Brandon Johnson, a forward out of East Carolina, also 6'8", around 210, was 8.6 rebounds a game, and he was a guy that shot at a higher rate, or excuse me, at a higher volume of three pointers, but his percentage is a little bit less at 36.5%. So that's another guy that they could be adding there. And I think that's the big thing here is that you look at those two guys. What are their comparisons to? Obviously, there's a little bit more Blake Hinson in those guys, but 6'8" is still bigger than slightly bigger than Blake. But the 3-point presence, the ability to score and rebound, that's something that they're definitely going to be trying to replace in the transfer portal. But that's not necessarily Fede Federico and Wilt Jeffress. Let's look at other guys. Chris Manon of Cornell, a guard, 6'5", 210. This is more of a transfer portal guy who I think is a veteran guy that if one of their guards go away, they could bring them in. But with Brandon Cummings coming in, Nelly Cummings' younger brother, along with Ishmael Leggett and Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe, if they were to keep all of them, I'm not so sure that this would be one of their guys that they would bring in. But who knows? Maybe it would be there. They also had a walk-on, Liam Mignogna of Hampton in the Whippio, but he's a high school guy. Other guys that they've reached out to, there's also Terrace Reed, a Michigan center who entered the transfer portal last week. He's been receiving different guys, and he's a former four-star guy, but he's more of a guy that would fit more of the role of what Federico is supposed to bring in. In the season before last, he averaged about 9 points, 7.2 rebounds per game, and he was decent in 51.9% from the field. That's a guy who that I think more fits the role of what they wanted Fede Federico to be, is just, hey, just finish at the rim, just get us a good chance of getting buckets when one of our guards drives to the paint, they draw the attention and you're wide open, and if they pass it to you, you're going to be able to throw it down. I think that was something that Pitt was trying to make happen, especially in that UNC game. There were several possessions where the game that they lost in the conference tournament, in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, that I saw Jalen Lowe create for Fetty, and he would create, draw the attention, pass it to Fetty, and Fetty would either fumble it or just not finish strong or hesitate. And it's just, you need someone else like that. Another person that we've heard of is a Charlotte transfer, Deshaun Jackson. Now, Deshaun Jackson's another guy who I think fits more of the center role, more of the guy that can help out in the bigs department. He's 6'11", he's 260, so he's a little bit bigger, averaged 11.7 points, 6.1 rebounds. And the question will be for a lot of these guys is, can they make the transition to ACC basketball? Some of these guys, they've played, decent level of basketball, but how will they do transitioning to this level of competition? Not always a given. Zach Austin, was a guy who was very efficient for High Point, wasn't as efficient for Pitt, but certainly brought a lot of the energy. But, Pitt's also been able to hit on other guys. So in the transfer portal. So those are just some of the ideas of guys that they've reached out to. I do anticipate Pitt to add multiple bigs here. I think that the thing is that do not get locked into the idea that they're going to demand to have a Blake Hinson back, a guy that just shoots three pointers and is a bigger size. I think that they're going to try to get a guy like that, but the bigger priority, I think, that for them will be a guy that can score at the rim, win in the paint, be a defensive presence at the rim, and replace the defensive presence they lost with Fetty, but give them the offensive presence they always wanted from Fetty. That being said, and this is also, of course, assuming that no other guys leave out the transfer portal. If that happens, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But speaking of guys leaving out the transfer portal, that's the next question. question that comes from Dave. Does the current transfer portal rule prohibit Ishmael Leggett and Zach Austin from leaving? Is there any way to keep a team, to keep the team together without NIL money? So, Dave, you asked a question that I struggle with all the time. What's the current transfer portal rule? I don't know, because it keeps changing, man. It's driving me nuts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I will say this. From what I understand, neither of those players would be stopped. There was an injunction placed that players... There was a rule in place that players who were transferred for a second time had to wait, or there, like, there was a waiting period or something that would hold them up. And then in December, there was a ruling or an injunction put in place to say, like, hey, we're gonna put a hold on that because it violated antitrust laws and such. And as a person who went to law school, don't ask me to get into federal antitrust law. That's not my specialty. But I will say this. I think with today's current climate, it really is a lot like free agency. Players can go where they want, can maneuver how they want, and they can do those things. Now, here's the thing. If you're asking me what keeps those guys from leaving, I think part of it's the environment that they were brought into. These were two guys who were on a competitive ACC team that had a great run at the end of the year and just was not given the chance to compete in the NCAA tournament. But they know that on this team, when you've got guys like Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe, and if Leggett stays, they know that could be the best backcourt in the ACC next year, and that could make them a ranked team. I think that's something that would keep Ishmael Leggett around. For Zach Austin, I think that he looks at a chance to say, like, hey, Blake's gone. This is my chance to get a little bit more of a role. If I can improve my three-point shooting, if I can, you know, find ways to use my athleticism in more consistent ways for the Panthers, that can make me a bigger player there and get a bigger role. I think that these are guys that enjoy the program. I think that Jeff Capel's part of what keeps guys around, and we'll see how that plays out. But make no mistake that in today's world of NIL money, world of college basketball, it just is what it is, man, that people are going to – money's always going to be a factor, and every year you're going to have this worry. So it's just part of the deal, part of today's age in college sports. You need to retain guys. You know, Pitt football needed to make sure that they retained guys last year. And some guys, they don't want to handle that. That's why you see a lot of coaches heading to the NFL and in the football world. It's just a lot to have to do to not only recruit for your future, but recruit to keep the guys that you have on your list already from going to the transfer portal. But does the rule prevent them? No. But what might prevent them? The culture and the success that Pitt's had that these guys might want to stick with and stay in the ACC. Moving on, we have another question here. This one's trending away from the transfer portal. We'll get away from that kind of talk. Phil asks, will the ACC's success in the NCAA tournament change the minds of the committee when the next year when they're thinking that the conference is down? Now, this is a question that I think a lot of people were talking about all throughout the weekend as the ACC games kind of rolled through, and we saw that ACC opponents, ACC teams went 8-1 in the first weekend, and that one was simply just Virginia losing in the first four. But all four of the teams that were put in the field of 64, they all made it to the Sweet 16, and in fact, by conference, the ACC has the most teams in the Sweet 16 right now. They have four. The Big East has three. Big Ten, two. Big 12, two. SEC, two. Pac-12, one. Mountain West, one. And West Coast Conference, one. And that says a lot for a conference like the Big 12, who just got bid after bid after bid. Teams that, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, that resume doesn't stack up to Pitt's, like TCU's. We talked about that a lot in this, that, you know, the Big Ten getting the benefit of some of those. Northwestern, another team that fits into that category, the way they got slaughtered in the second round. But to answer your question, Phil, no, I don't think it is going to change their minds, because I don't think that it's objectivity that's making it think that right now, because this isn't the first time this happened. This happened last year when the ACC looked really good in the tournament. Then it's happened for years. The ACC, if you go back the past 8 seasons or so, 10 seasons, so like, they're one of the best, if not the best, conferences at performing in the tournament, even when you limit their access to it. And the crazy thing is, if you put Pitt in instead of Virginia, there might be five teams from the ACC in the Sweet 16 right now, because everyone agreed that covered the ACC. Why would you put Virginia in over Pitt? Pitt was a much better team. So listen, Phil, I hear your frustration in asking this question, but I just think that what's happening is you're seeing the ACC. It's just going to be perceived a down conference. And you know, for the time to come, I think the only way to disprove it is that the top ACC teams, they need to win their non-conference games. They got to go out. They got to beat them. They can't afford, like Pitt, they don't lose to Missouri. Maybe they're in this year. And I know that's not me saying that, oh yeah, shame on Pitt for not beating Missouri, even though, you know, shame on Pitt for not beating Missouri. But that I'm not saying that should be what have kept them out, but I'm telling you that these ACC teams, they are in the position to not give anyone excuses to exclude to say their resume isn't good enough. So what ACC teams are going to have to do, they're going to have to make sure that their resumes are squeaky clean in non-conference. And then when they start dusting each other up in conference, it's going to be what it's going to be. But the teams that rise to the top, if they had a good non-conference, performance, then that's going to not hinder them and allow them to say, hey, we deserve to get more of these teams in there. But will that change? I just don't think so, because we've been saying this for a while now, and it still hasn't happened. That the ACC get respected. And again, the records of teams in the first two rounds, the ACC is 8-1, the Pac-12 is 6-3, the Big Ten is 6-4, the Big 12 is 7-6. That's just not a good place to be. And in fact, I think that was also right before everything was. Oh no, that was right when everything was ending up this past weekend. So all that being said, no, I don't think it's going to change the minds of the committee. But the only thing that's going to change their minds is if the ACC forces them to, by having too many teams with good resumes to keep out. And again, that's going to come with dominating their non-conference. And I know some people are going to say, well, Chris, they were 9-3 against the Big 12 this year before the tournament. What else are they supposed to do? I don't know, maybe go 12-0. And I'm not saying that that's right. I'm saying that that's the level of scrutiny I think the ACC is just under. In the same year that you get teams like Pitt being snubbed in the NCAA tournament and the ACC being perceived down in basketball, you also had the first ever in college football history team to be undefeated, to be conference champions in a major conference, and then not be given a chance to compete for the college football playoffs in Florida State this past year. So, like it or not, I just think that's the state the ACC is in, and I think it's also a sign of politically where the ACC is as far as their strength and influence in college sports. Our last question goes to Rich, and this is a draft question, a dual draft question. Rich asks, which bub is more likely to get drafted to the pros this year, Bub Means or Bub Carrington? This is a good question. So everyone who might be thinking, like, wait a second, which Bub is which? Bub Means is the receiver for the Pitt football team, led the team this past year, developed into a bigger threat throughout the year. And then Bub Carrington, of course, is the point guard who everyone saw was playing very well for Pitt, the freshman, who some have projected to be a lottery pick in the NBA draft. But who is more likely to get drafted this year? Now, I'll say this. If Bub Carrington gets drafted, he will be the higher prospect. He will be the bigger name between these two in their respective sports. Bub Carrington, I think, has a bright future in the NBA someday. However, from what we've heard at the Post-Gazette, I'm not so sure that Bub Carrington goes to the NBA unless he's being told by NBA scouts and teams that, hey, you're going to be with us in the pros and not like in the G League or something like that. And I think that what those teams are going to do with how young Bub is, they're going to want him to play in the G League for a few years. And that might not be what Bub wants to do. Bub might want to say, hey, let's run it back with Pitt. Let's go back with Jalen Lowe and Ishmael Leggett. Let's be a ranked team to start next year, and we'll make the tournament, and then we'll make noise. And then maybe I'll be a lottery pick when everyone sees how honed my skills are. And then I'll have higher value. I'll get a better contract. I think that opportunity for Bub Carrington is a higher likelihood of happening than Bub Means not being drafted in the NFL this year. And when I say that, it's because I've been studying the NFL draft. I look at it every year. Bub Means, I wasn't sure if he would get respect across the board, but I had sources, guys that told me when I was at the combine, I covered that for the Post-Gazette in Indianapolis when we were talking to Steelers prospects as well as Pitt prospects who were at the combine. And I heard lots of great things about people from other teams, scouts, analysts being like, that Bub Means guy, he's for real. And I'm like, I didn't think that anyone else would notice because of Pitt's poor quarterback play the past two seasons. But apparently Bub Means has put on enough highlight tape and has shown enough on special teams combined with his strength, size, and speed that teams are all about him. And if you listen to the first draft podcast from ESPN that features Mel Kiper and Field Yates, Mel Kiper keeps bringing up Bub Means as like the sleeper receiver in this draft class that can be a burner, a special teamer, a big guy that makes good plays, makes yards after the catch. Those are the things that I think could play in the favor of a Bub Means to be drafted. I think that he has a much better likelihood of being drafted than Bub Carrington choosing to go to the NBA and then getting selected, simply because I think that there's a bigger chance that Bub Carrington chooses to come back to Pitt than there is for Bub Means to not get picked by any NFL team in the draft this year. So that being said, to answer your question, it's Bub Means who is more likely to get drafted this year simply because of that practicality. But there's a lot of other things we'll get to cover here for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning into the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Pitt Mailbag. As always, the show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local. 80 of those local beers are available on tap. Mike's Beer Bar is the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you go there, also get steak on a stone. It's a great meal option. You bring your steak brought to you on a heated stone. You cut every piece off. Every time you press a piece into that stone, you choose how well done you want every single bite. They have over 20 televisions to catch whatever sporting events you want, including the Sweet 16, which resumes this weekend in March Madness. Maybe you'll see me there. Go check out Mike's Beer Bar today, and when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. Thanks very much, Eric, for everyone for joining in on the Pitt Mailbag Show from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'll be back on your screens and in your ears very soon for more here on the North Shore Drive podcast and all of our content from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.